This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And McAdams Millwright Service. And now, with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here in Ag News on your Friday afternoon. The biggest news on Capitol Hill this week was trade, and in the USDA, the latest WASD report. First off, in that latest trade news we've been covering this week, U.S. Trade Ambassador Catherine Tai says that any new multilateral Asian-Pacific trade deals for the Biden administration must be bipartisan, while a key bilateral deal with the United Kingdom may be complicated by continued turbulence in Northern Ireland. Tai told the Senate Finance Committee the Trans-Pacific Partnership the last administration withdrew from lacked bipartisan congressional support. So the Biden administration is leery to get back into that agreement.
My focus will be in formulating trade policy here to find a path that has broad bipartisan support that is going to be effective and not allow for free ridership on what we put together with our partners.
Pointing directly at China with its massive subsidies and trade barriers. Another trade effort with the United Kingdom is also complicated by regional and political concerns.
I hear a lot of concerns from members of Congress around the situation in Northern Ireland. That is something that we are keeping our eye on in terms of steps forward with the UK on an agreement.
Also uncertain is the timing of a Biden nomination of a key post for trade and agriculture.
I'm chief ag negotiator. This is a priority for the administration. It is a priority for me in terms of staffing up at USDR. So I hope soon.
Tai was even more circumspect on when and if the White House will seek renewal of expiring presidential power to speed trade deals through Congress on up or down votes. Trade promotion authority is seen by other nations as a key indicator of how serious the U.S. is on trade negotiation deals. Like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Tai said trade promotion authority must have robust bipartisan support. Other big news this week was the release of the May WASDE report, which set the tone for the new marketing year crop expectations, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation's economist, Michael Naveau, who says the report offers the first look at supply and demand expectation.
This is the highlight of the spring USDA reports as it incorporates the farmer planning decisions from the March prospective planning report and adapts supply estimates to reflect weekly planning progress reports. The big story leading up to this report we've seen is the rising prices due to increased global demand for U.S. commodities.
Naveau says USDA projects corn production at 14.9 billion bushel, up 800 million bushels from the old crop.
This is just second behind the 2016 production when U.S. corn farmers produced just over 15.1 billion bushels. For soybeans, USDA is projecting new crop at 4.4 billion bushels, and it's projecting total supplies to decline about 130 million bushels from the current marketing year. There are still quite a few folks out there who think that we are going to see higher acres in the June acreage report that's released next month, as we've seen prices continue higher following when farmers responded to those March surveys.
In this month of May, the USDA estimates the 2020-2021 corn exports to be a record 2.7 billion bushel and expects a tight supply.
For new crop corn, USDA projects ending stocks will rise about 250 million bushels to 1.5 billion. That's quite a bit more than most traders were anticipating, and that's helped to drive some of this pullback in markets that we've been seeing. For new crop beans, USDA projects soybean ending stocks will rise to 140 million bushels. The old crop bean stocks to use ratio came in at 2.6%, and the new crop is projected at 3.2%.
And you can learn more online about the latest WASD report through the Farm Bureau at fb.org/market intel. The latest news out of the USDA has the Department of Agriculture purchasing up to $159.4 million in domestically produced seafood, fruit, legumes, and nuts for distribution to a variety of domestic food assistance programs. The purchases announced Thursday are being made with funds under the authority of Section 32 of the Agricultural Adjustment Act. Secretary Tom Vilsack of the USDA says these healthy, nutritious food purchases will benefit food banks and nonprofits helping those struggling with food hardship. The inventories of the included commodities are in high oversupply due to a decrease in demand because of COVID-19 pandemic and disruptions in the food supply chain as restaurants and other outlets closed during the pandemic. Within a few days of approval, the USDA's Food and Nutrition Service will offer these commodities to their networks. Others should be received during the first week of June, with solicitation being issued by mid-June and awards occurring near the end of the month. Deliveries should start to occur by middle August. Moving on now to State of Illinois Ag News on your Friday afternoon. Rain over the last weekend across Illinois has almost eliminated any shortage of moisture throughout the central part of the state. Coming into the winter and even spring, drought concerns were starting to creep in. But Chris Miller with the National Weather Service office in Lincoln points out the last weekend's rain capped off what has been a very wet spring.
To get this, you know, right around 2-inch rainfall in much of central Illinois didn't really do us a lot of favors. We're not, you know, granted, yeah, deep down below the, you know, the soil is still a little bit dry, but you got to go several, you know, you got to go a few feet down. Those top few inches are very wet. And in fact, I saw a lot of areas in central and eastern Illinois with standing water in fields, full ditches. So I think we've reached the point now where, you know, we're definitely not, we don't have any, you know, moisture deficits in the soil, obviously. In fact, now we've switched the other way and we've got too much, mainly from this system that came through. But with dry weather expected most of the week, I know you mentioned, you know, a few spotty showers are possible late this afternoon. Most people aren't going to see anything out of those, just passing showers. But overall, a dry week until we get to late in the weekend. And so that's going to help, definitely going to help. To be able to get back into the fields, because right now things are just too muddy in most areas.
Anywhere from 1 to 2 inches of rain fell in most places of central Illinois over the last weekend, and the National Weather Service's website even had reports of 2+ inches in some places, especially north of I-72. Miller says this time next week we could see regular temperatures back in the low 70s, and even approaching 80 degrees in southern parts of Illinois. In other state ag news on a Friday, we have your Illinois crop production estimates for the winter wheat harvest coming up here in June and July. Harvested area this year for wheat in Illinois is forecasted to be 650,000 acre, 130,000 acres more than last year. The winter wheat yield is forecasted to be 74 bushels per acre here in Illinois, 6 more bushels than last year, and production is forecasted to be 48.1 million bushels of wheat, 36% more than last year. And moving on now into local ag news for your Friday. This past Tuesday night was the Section 19 FFA banquet, and there were several highlights for area chapters. For Nokomis, Ty Nodal completed his term as the Section 19 Vice President, and Skylar Stewart was then elected as Section 19 Sentinel. For Morrisonville, Ava Sachs was elected as Section 19 Reporter. And for Hillsboro, Maria Hernandez retired as Section 19 Treasurer, and Peyton Wilson was elected to serve as Section 19 Secretary for the coming year. Also, awards were given out to Hillsboro members who won their respective proficiency areas at the sectional level, and those included Joey Kaiser in safety, Will Spicer in swine production placement, Nathan Brown in goat production, Emily Cushing in equine science placement, Ethan Blackburn in ag mechanics and design fabrication placement, Reese Morford in small animal production, and Levi Arkebauer in outdoor recreation. Also, Claire Tester and Will Spicer were honored for attaining their state degree, which they'll be receiving later on this summer at the state convention in Springfield. Moving on now into the local Ag Community Bulletin Board on this Friday. The Montgomery County Farm Bureau will be holding a defensive driving course for individuals 55 years and older who are a member of Country Financial Insurance. It will be held at the Farm Bureau office on the Courthouse Square in Hillsboro. Coming up Thursday, the 27th, from 8 till 4, pre-registration is due by Monday, May 24th, to the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro the number 532-6171, or to your local Country Financial representative here in Montgomery County. You must attend all day for the discount on your auto insurance, and the cost for Farm Bureau members is free. Non-member cost is $20. If you've missed out on summertime tractor shows, I have one coming up for you. The Hillsboro Old Time Tractor Show will be held this year, but about 6 weeks earlier than normal. This year it'll be held in conjunction with the Montgomery County Bicentennial Celebration. The show will be held on Saturday, June 5th and Sunday, June 6th, the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler, along with all the other festivities going on for the Montgomery County Bicentennial. And we'll have more information for you with the Old Time Tractor Show coming up in the days and weeks to come. The Montgomery County Farm Bureau, along with Country Financial, will be holding a benefit golf outing at Indian Springs Golf Course in rural Fillmore coming up Friday, July 30th. The cost to play for a Farm Bureau member team is $240. A non-member team is $300, and that's payable by cash or check to the Montgomery County Farm Bureau by July 16th. Registration will include one free drink and lunch. Flighting will be scheduled according to participation, and participation is limited to 25 four-man teams. There'll be a longest drive, longest putt, skins, and other contests featured as well. You can contact the Montgomery County Farm Bureau for more information and to register, or if you'd like to be a sponsor of the event, you can contact them as well. The number to the Farm Bureau office, 532-6171, and you can email Katie at kwilson@montcofb.com. Proceeds from this upcoming golf outing go to benefit Montgomery County food pantries. And one last final note here today. We've announced that May is Beef Month across the nation, and here at WSMI, we'll also be celebrating May Beef Month by giving away beef certificates to Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. They've been kindly donated to us from the Central Illinois Livestock Association. All you have to do is email us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com to enter to win. Put beef in the subject line of your email along with your name and phone number so we can contact you. This coming Friday, I'll pick two winners. Next Friday, the 21st, I'll pick one. And the following Friday, the 28th, I'll pick another winner. Perfect, just in time for Memorial Day weekend. Again, all you have to do to enter to win is email us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. Put beef in the subject line of your email, along with your name and phone number, so we know how to get in touch with you if you are picked as a winner. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on this Friday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for your Friday afternoon, May 14th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.